My name is Eric from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes as the ominous drones of Ionosphere transport us across their nightscape. Plus music from Chris Davis Infrasound, Carolise Coverdale, Juliana Barwick, and the Max Roach Double Quartet. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Igers Kildas and Louisa Sabin Kildas of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
A bus carrying students from the Deconic Hills Central School District went off Pumpkin Hollow Road near Route 27 in the town of Taconic on Friday, November the 8th. The bus left the roadway and slid into some trees. According to a statement posted at the Deconic Hills website, 10 students were on the bus. Two of those students and the bus driver were evaluated at the scene and taken to the hospital for minor injuries. The remaining students were released to their parents at the scene or taken to the school for evaluation by the nurse. The New York State Police, Columbia County Sheriff's Department, Taconic Fire Department, Copeg Community Rescue, and Greenport Rescue responded to the scene. The vehicle involved was owned and operated by bus contractor Michael Johnson of Philmont. The incident is under investigation by the county sheriff's department.
Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that Columbia County Board of Elections officials still have not released results for the November 5th elections, over 48 hours after polls closed. Columbia County Board of Elections and State Board of Elections officials did not call the newspaper back with any comments on their inability to let the public know the results of a small election 2 days after the voting. Election day voting results are on the county's website, but there is not any of the results of the early voting and absentee voting. The newspaper says there are 800 early votes and 1,200 absentee votes to be counted. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The walls of the new Green County Jail in Coxsackie are going up. Bruce Hausler with the Pike Company reported to the Greene County Legislature's Public Safety Committee November 6. He said, and I quote, "We will start to enclose the building next week," end quote. The steel is going up, and Hausler expects the main portion of the structure to be completed by December 15. Roof construction begins in mid-December, he said. Electric lines are already in, and the site should have gas by the end of the year, Hausler said. Republican legislator Gregory Davis, who represents Greenville, asked where the workers on the project are from. Two of the steel workers are from Athens, Hausler said, and there are electricians from Catskill, Durham, Earlton, and Coxsackie on the job. Hausler said the crews have also been purchasing supplies from the local Home Depot, Lowe's Home Improvement, and Dean's Mills. The 80-cell, 64-bed jail, according to Tapton, is expected to begin taking on tenants in the summer of 2021. The construction is funded by a $39 million bond and an $8.1 million contribution to the county. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that a measure to add a second fly car on the mountaintop passed the Greene County Legislature's Health Services Committee in a 6-3 vote on November 6th. A fly car preps patients for transport before an ambulance arrives, and the mountain terrain means it takes longer for ambulances to reach patients and victims. Catskill officials complained recently that adding another fly car means they are paying double, as they already spend $1.8 million on an advanced life support ambulance service. Voting for the added fly car were legislators Patricia Handel, Republican from Durham, Greg Davis, a Republican from Greenville, Ed Bloomer, a Republican from Athens, Patrick Linger, a Republican from New Baltimore, Harry Lennon, a Democrat from Cairo, and Jack Keller, a Republican from Catskill. Legislator Matt Lavera, Republican from Catskill, voted against the resolution, while Thomas Hobart, a Republican from Coxsackie, and William Lawrence, Republican from Cairo, were absent. The proposal next heads to the Finance Committee and then the full Greene County Legislature before it will be added to the budget proposal. Greene County Legislature's budget presentation is November 4th at Catskill High School, and that showed just over $53 million in debt for the county. Most of that, $39 million, goes toward the new jail that several local officials said was too large and could instead be shared with another county. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ann McCloy is reporting for WRGB-TV. State Senators Sue Serino and Patrick Galvin have proposed new legislation that would amend the state's new bail reform law. Serino and Galvin, both Republicans, are being supported in their effort by law enforcement and prosecutors who believe the law, as currently written, will put public safety in jeopardy. Serino said, and I quote, "If a person commits aggravated assault on a child, that person will not qualify for bail," end quote. Under the new law, set to take effect January 1st, anyone charged with a misdemeanor or nonviolent felonies will be released until trial. Serino and Galvin have proposed the law to be amended to give judges more power to decide which of the accused will stay in jail. The proposal will also expand the list of domestic violence offenses that would make an accused ineligible for conditional release. Asked for comment about the proposed amendment, a spokesperson for Governor Andrew Cuomo said a nearly identical bill reform law was passed in New Jersey years ago, and since that time, overall crime has decreased with no significant increase in reoffenses or failures to appear. Cuomo's spokesman said, and I quote, "Politicians taking cues from Trump's cheap fear-mongering should knock it off and focus on the facts," end quote. Read the full story at CBS6Albany.com.
Kenneth C. Crow II reports in the Times Union that Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin wants a 12% pay increase for Jim Gordon, the Director of Central Services. Gordon is one of McLaughlin's chief Republican political operatives, and he proposes salary increase has drawn bipartisan concern from members of the county legislature. The average Rensselaer County worker will get a 1.75% raise under the same proposal. Quote, "We have no commitment to any of the raises yet," unquote, said legislature chairman Michael Stammel, a Republican from Rensselaer. McLaughlin's staff backed the big pay hike, saying Gordon is taking on additional responsibilities overseeing the county IT department. Another close aide of McLaughlin, County Director of Operations Richard Christ, would get a 3.5% salary increase under the same proposal. The Rensselaer County Legislature holds a public hearing without a live web stream on the tentative budget from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday, November 14th at the County Office Building. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Eric Anderson is reporting for the Times Union. Ridership increased on Amtrak routes operating through Albany, the passenger railroad reported November 8th. Amtrak Chairman Anthony Corsia and CEO Richard Anderson also told reporters in a conference call the railroad expects to post its first ever operating profit in 2020. Of the routes serving the capital region, the greatest gains were on the Empire Corridor routes west of Albany, including the Maple Leaf to Toronto, the Lakeshore Limited, which serves Chicago, Boston, and New York City. The Empire Corridor south of Albany posted a 5.5% gain during the fiscal year that ended October 31st. The Adirondack service between New York and Montreal was up 5.5%, while the Ethan Allen Express between New York and Rutland increased 1.7%. System-wide, Amtrak transported a record 32.5 million passengers, 2.5% more than during the previous year. And you can read the full story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that a federal judge ordered President Donald Trump on November 7th to pay $2 million in damages because his charity was being improperly used to promote his candidacy in the 2016 election. Quote, "The court's decision, together with the settlements we negotiated, are a major victory in our efforts to protect charitable assets and hold accountable those who would abuse charities for personal gain," unquote, said New York Attorney General Letitia James. Quote, "My office will continue to fight for accountability because no one is above the law, not a businessman, not a candidate for office, and not even the President of the United States," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Sunday with a high near 46 and a low around 33 Sunday night. Then on Monday, there's a chance of rain. Cloudy skies, a high near 42, 40% chance of precipitation. And Monday night, the rain turns into snow or sleet with a low around 26. Tuesday, snow is likely before 1 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 31 and a low around 13. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson Radio for open ears.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Ooh. shoulder pain and bury what's left. Hardest to bear and spit out the rest. Deliver our name.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I'm a student from MC Smith Elementary School.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
and books we just are meh and weird.
True story. Yes. And today we're going to talk about some books. That's the loud mic.
Yeah, I apologize.
Well, before we dive into books, since we just got through the Halloween season, I'm wondering what you all dressed up as for Halloween.
I dressed up as Pennywise from It because I'm just the slightest bit obsessed with those movies, mm-hmm. and I don't know why.
Creepy. I dressed up as D.Va from Overwatch.
I don't know what that is.
She is a girl from a fighting game.
I have to see pictures of costumes.
I will show you.
I'm boring for Halloween, so I'm just dressing up as a Hufflepuff.
You are already a Hufflepuff.
I know. I'm basically dressing up as myself, but if I wore Hufflepuff gear.
So, basically, you could have just dressed up as a librarian because you basically are a librarian.
Right? Yeah, but I guess I dress up like a librarian every day.
Okay. I did almost get stuck in a costume when I was trying on costumes Spirit Halloween, and that was a time. And
you're like, now I will have to be a dragon forever, or whatever you dressed up as. What was the costume?
It was Chucky.
Oh, no.
But it was like a really weird Chucky costume with like a jean skirt and... A crop top, and I got stuck in it.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you didn't.
I was like, this isn't good. I escaped.
Yes.
Isn't Spirit Halloween at the old ShopRite?
It is.
Oh.
And it's so weird to walk in there and have it not be the produce section of ShopRite. It's like, this is strange.
Yeah.
There are no tomatoes, only clowns.
Sounds terrifying. Yeah. So fun. So what have you all been reading lately?
I've been reading The Handmaid's Tale for an assignment in class, and I've had very little time to read The 11th Plague, and I'm really sad about that because I have such little time.
Are you still enjoying Handmaid's Tale?
It's half of the reason I enjoy most of the books in this class is because I love the teacher so much.
Oh, that's nice. Who's the teacher?
Miss Neer.
Shout out to Miss Neer.
She's great.
I like Miss Neer too. I don't know her that well because I've never had her as a teacher. So what have you been reading, Lena?
I have been reading nothing because I forgot to read, but I shall share a book that I have read, but it was last year. I have read Peter Pan, and I stuck with it with the talent show songs. Huh? I did the talent show last year.
And you sang a song from Peter Pan?
Yeah, well, it's Lost Boy, and it's kind of based from Peter Pan by Ruth B.
I know a song you're talking about, and it is very good.
What is
the
song?
Lyrical dancers at dance competitions will usually have that song as at least one of their dances at every competition I've ever been to, and it's pretty good. But I've never before heard the entire song because dance competitions limit the length of your songs, and so they are always cut.
Cut short. I've been reading a fun book. It is called This Was Our Pact by Ryan Andrews, and it's a graphic novel geared towards kids. It's very pretty.
Ooh.
And it's about some kids, mostly Ben and Nathaniel, but Ben and his friends have made a pact. There's two rules to the pact. Rule one, no one turns for home. Rule two, no one looks back. And basically, they live in a town where there is an autumnal equinox festival where everyone drops these glowy lanterns into the water. And the story goes that they drift down the water and then they drift up into the sky and become stars.
Ooh. Oh.
And this year they've decided they're going to follow down the road farther than they've ever ridden before, because they always follow the lanterns down the road on bikes, but they usually turn back. And this year they're going to follow them all the way and see if they really become stars. So they ride their bikes down, but slowly, one by one, all of Ben's friends drop out and head back. They break the pact. But one young man named Nathaniel, who is not part of the group that makes the pact, who is following behind because he knows about the pact, but he's not let into the group, he stays strong. And so in the end, he and Ben make it down to the river and then set off on an adventure to find out if these lanterns will become stars. And there's lots of fantastical stuff in it. It starts off feeling like a regular world, but then you see little creatures. One of the first characters they meet is a fisher bear. So it's a bear with a big basket that says that the lanterns are fish and that he's going fishing. So that's very fun. I'm enjoying it so far. I haven't finished it.
Graphic novels. You've been on a lot of graphic novels recently, and I'm loving it, honestly.
They're pretty fun.
They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think my dad right now is reading Persepolis.
Oh, that's a great one.
Which I can't remember the description of, but I do know it's a realist. I think it's a realistic fiction.
Mm-hmm. Or
is it an autobiography? Mm-hmm. It's an autobiography. Okay.
Yeah, that's really good. Oh, I have some other graphic novel news that I'm excited about that I don't think I've talked about on the show yet, that I recently learned that two graphic novel series that I love are being made into either TV series or streaming series. So one is Paper Girls, which I believe is being turned into a live action series. And then Bone is getting an animated series.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
What? Oh my gosh. Why am I just realizing about... I'm sorry, wait, give me a second to calm down. I got really excited for a minute.
Really excited.
I didn't know that was a thing that was happening. Oh my gosh, yeah. I need to reread the entire series.
One comment here. I don't know what Bone is, neither Paper Girls.
Oh. Bone is a really good, hold on.
It's
hard
to explain.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
She's speechless.
Bone is by Jeff Smith. It's by Jeff Smith, and it's a fairly dark comic series, actually, at some parts. It ran for 10 issues, I think, 10 books. I have a collection of all of them, but it doesn't have color, which makes me a bit sad.
I have the same one.
It was wrapped in plastic when I bought it, and when I opened it up and realized it didn't have color, it was too late. And I was like, well, excuse me.
We're really into full color comics here.
It takes place in a fantasy world. There are three creatures called Bones,
and
which are drawn
out of Boneville.
And they're drawn in like the style of like a Peanuts comic or a comic strip.
They're super cartoony.
And then it's, like, contrasted against, like, the other characters they meet, such as a girl who I think's named Thorn or Rose. I think her name is Thorn, and her grandmother's name is Rose, who are drawn very realistically, like a human would look. And then there are also these things called rat creatures, one of which is drawn almost like in a halfway between like the realistic and the cartoonish way. And I don't remember what his name is, but he is very cute. I like that little rat creature. while the other ones are drawn more realistically and more monstrously. And basically, wild things start happening.
Yeah. And I think that one, even though it has some dark moments, is geared more towards kids.
Oh, yeah, it is. Age. I'd have to read it again, but I'm pretty sure. I read it probably when I was around your age. The 10th one. I read the 10th one first and then had no idea.
You worked your way backwards. Yeah.
I worked my way backwards.
Just read it in reverse. And then Paper Girls is by Brian K. Vaughan, and it is a book written for teens, and it centers on, I think it's five paper girls, like newspaper girls. In the 80s, who one, I believe it's Halloween night, some adventures begin that involve time travel and time travelers. And it's sort of this epic adventure.
Nice.
Featuring some Paper Girls. It's very fun. I'm very excited for it. The last Paper Girls just came out in October. And so I have it at home and I'm curious to see how that all ends. So it's a shorter series than some. I think it's just the sixth volume, although they came out as comics, so there were individual issues. But yay, so comics news. Fun times. So I thought we could share a few books that are coming out soon that sound good, or are recent releases. So first up, I'm going to share one that I believe is actually written for adults, but perhaps there are some stories in here that are kid-friendly or teen-friendly. It's called The New Voices of Science Fiction, and it's a collection of short science fiction stories. And here's the description. Your future is bright. After all, your mother is a robot, your father has joined the alien hive mind, and your dinner will be counterfeit 3D printed steak. Even though your worker bots have staged a mutiny and your tour guide speaks only in memes, you can always sell your native language if you need some extra cash. The avant-garde of science fiction have arrived in this space-age sequel to the World Fantasy Award-winning anthology, The New Voices of Fantasy. Here you'll find the rising stars of the last 5 years, which includes our friend Sam J. Miller.
Hey. Good.
Their extraordinary stories have been hand-selected by cutting-edge author Hanu Rajaniemi and genre expert Jacob Weissman. So go ahead, join the interstellar revolution. The new kids have already hacked the AI. I'm excited about it.
I heard Sam J. Miller and I was hooked already.
Lena doesn't know Sam J. Miller yet.
Well, Sam J. Miller's the best.
He's an author who writes primarily for teens and adults.
Yeah.
And he grew up here in Hudson. And he's come on the show a few times. He's come to the book fest. He did an author event at the library.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good buddy. I saw him the other day for coffee. He says hi.
Yay.
He also is a Hufflepuff. Shout out to my fellow Hufflepuffs.
Okay. I'm okay with being a Hufflepuff now. I've accepted it.
Hufflepuffs are great, just saying. It's a good life.
I just spent all my life thinking I'd end up being a Ravenclaw, and then I literally just took that official quiz a couple weeks ago and realized I was not. I was a bit concerned.
Well, most
but
people
my Patronus is a hedgehog, so...
Oh, that's nice. Mine's a bloodhound.
Nice.
I don't know what mine's is because I didn't take that quiz.
You should take it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is actually.
I want like the deer that like is like starry, or a wolf. That would be really good.
Do you want to read your book?
Oh yes. This is from the author of The Raven Boys, which is a story I read for book battle and didn't really enjoy.
But your mom did.
Yeah, my mom loved it.
Shout out to Polly.
Call Down the Hawk by Maggie Stiefvater. The dreamers walk among us, and so do the dreamed. Those who dream cannot stop dreaming, they can only try to control it. Those who are dreamed cannot have their own lives. They will sleep forever if their dreamers die. And then there are those who are drawn to the dreamers, to use them, to trap them, to kill them before their dreams destroy us all. Ronan Lynch is a dreamer. He can pull both curiosities and catastrophes out of his dreams and into his compromised reality. Jordan Hennessy is a thief. The closer she comes to the dream object she is after, the more inextricably, she becomes tied to it. Carmen Farouk Lane is a hunter. Her brother was a dreamer and a killer. She has seen what dreaming can do to a person, and she has seen the damage that dreamers can do, but that's nothing compared to the destruction that is about to be unleashed. It's the first book in the Dreamer Trilogy, a spin-off series from The Raven Cycle, which I thought, because I'm pretty sure Ronan Lynch was a character in, he sounded familiar, the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, it sounded familiar to me too. I read the first book in the series, but I didn't read the rest. Although I really liked the first one, I didn't feel the need to continue.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of rushed through the ending of The Raven Boys because I was getting bored.
But you made it through.
I have Midwinter Witch by Molly Knox Ostertag, the acclaimed graphic novel world of the Witch Boy and the Hidden Witch comes to a thrilling conclusion in this story of friendship, family, and finding your true power. Magic has a dark side. Esther always looks forward to the Midwinter Festival, a reunion of the entire Vesin family that includes competitions in witchery and shape-shifting. This year, he's especially excited to compete in the annual Jonrun tournament as a witch. He's determined to show everyone that he's proud of who he is and what he's learned, but he knows it won't be easy to defy tradition. Ariel has darker things on her mind than the festival, like the mysterious witch who's been visiting her dreams, claiming to know the truth about Ariel's past. She appreciates everything the Vansels have done for her, but Ariel still craves a place where she truly belongs. The festival is a whirlwind of excitement and activity, but for Esther and Ariel, nothing goes according to plan. When a powerful or sinister force invades the reunion, threatening to destroy everything the young witches have fought for, can they find the courage to fight for it together, or will dark magic tear them apart?
That's part of the Witch Boy series, right? That's what I thought.
I love the Witch Boy books. I was kind of sad. I didn't catch when I saw this earlier that it's the thrilling conclusion.
Oh, to it's the a series, conclusion? Oh, no.
Which means it's the third and final book.
Oh,
just
no.
Sad because I love this series. Sometimes it's okay to have things that are short.
And yeah, then Molly I don't Knox know how I'd feel if like a book like Nimona had a sequel. Sometimes it's good to just let it end.
Yeah.
Even if Nimona was really, really good.
Although,
and made me
you
cry.
Know if there was a second one that came out, you'd be all over it. Right?
You're right. I just got the comic for the third installment of Wings of Fire, the one with Glory and all the rain wings in it, and it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's so colorful.
Yay.
And so pretty.
Cool. I'm so excited for this book, The Midwinter Witch. I think The Witch Boy was my favorite so far of the first two. That's very cool. It's about, I don't know, have you read it before?
Or
you
just know about The Witch Boy? It? No, yeah. I have not. I just know you've talked about it before.
It's about...
And it was very good.
A young...
Sounded good.
Young man named Aster, who's part of a family of witches and shapeshifters. And historically, the witches have all been women and the shapeshifters have all been men. But Aster identifies with being a witch and wants to be a witch. And so it finds ways to learn witchcraft and about that journey. It's very good. But yeah, so those are just a few recent releases. Sound pretty exciting. Do you have any idea what you all want to read next? I know you're all kind of struggling to get to your reading.
I want to read next The Girl at Midnight so I can get to the next book called... What was it called? I can't remember what it was called, but one thing on top of it that it said in tiny words was one girl can set the whole world on fire. Oh, it was The Shadow Hour. And then there's another one after, but I don't know what it's called.
I'm still working, and by working through, I mean I haven't touched it because I've been working through The Handmaid's Tale. I'm still reading The 11th Plague. And after that, I don't know what I want to read after that. I haven't been really reading the Wings of Fire comics anymore so much as I've just been admiring just going, every single page, because I already know the story. But it's just so pretty.
Yeah.
And the way they draw the sloths in the newest comic is really, really cute.
The sloths?
The rain wings live in the rainforest, and they are all herbivores. Aww. So they have pet sloths.
I love sloths.
And they're so cute.
They're pretty awesome. Well, we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Mm-hmm.
Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye. And please listen more and donate.
Mediano cero en la zona central, cerca del límite y lejos del final, entre dos valles con el cielo despejado, sobre un campo con el horizonte estrellado. Hay una fábrica pequeña pero inmensa, de un viejo sabio que sobrevive porque piensa.
Conocedor de múltiples maniobras, el viejo en la mezcla de lo mejor de las obras, el mundo explotó y quedó desierto, y el viejo heredó lo mejor de todo lo que había muerto. Tiene visión telescópica, piel de tortuga, lengua de camaleón y olfato de oruga. El viejo es el cirujano del tiempo, tiempo, tiempo. A sangre fría opera todos los momentos, todos los minutos que se pierden por ahí, los puedes recuperar con un bisturí. Estira los segundos para que se hagan más largos. También hace trasplantes de momentos amargos, y si continúa la amargura y nada lo consuela, se aplica un poco de anestesia pa' que no le duela, pa' que no le duela, pa' que no le duela.
Se hacen eternas cuando las quieren, y siempre viven y nunca mueren. Cuando se duermen son indefensas, y se despiertan cuando las piensas, y las atacan. Cuando las piensas y las atacan y las defienden, las más valiosas nunca se venden, alcanzan todo lo que deseas, así de grandes son las ideas.
Si quiere darle vida a un ciclo nuevo, cada cierto tiempo pone huevos. No come mucho porque es de sangre fría, y se alimenta de moscas que viven un solo día. Y si no hay comida, no lo culpo, si se alimenta de su propio cuerpo como los pulpos. No moriría aunque su cuerpo entero se comiera, es como las salamandras, rápido se regenera.
Pueden pasar los años,
pero a este ermitaño el tiempo no le hace daño, es inmortal como los santos. Sus vértebras son de árbol, por eso dura tanto. El viejo sabio nunca se olvida de nada, porque tiene su memoria congelada. Sus recuerdos están enteros, los preserva con hielo seco, 80 grados bajo cero.
Se hacen eternas cuando las quieren, y siempre viven y nunca mueren. Cuando se duermen son indefensas, y se despiertan cuando las piensas. Y las atacan y las defienden, las más valiosas nunca se venden, alcanzan todo lo que deseas, así de grandes son las ideas. Se hacen eternas cuando las quieren, y siempre viven y nunca mueren. Cuando se duermen son indefensas, y se despiertan cuando las piensas. Y las atacan y las defienden, las más valiosas nunca se venden, alcanzan todo lo que deseas, así de grandes son las ideas.
Repetición, la repetición, repetición, la repetición, la repetición. La repetición de una acción es la técnica más efectiva para la prolongación. Por eso se repite aunque se esté aburriendo. Ya lleva 9500 años viviendo, y es que ya no pasa por problemas mayores. De tanto repetirse aprendió de sus errores. Para el viejo es un abismo. Vivir no es tan bonito cuando se vive todos los días lo mismo. Le gustaría ser distinto, pero repetirse y controlar el tiempo ya lo hace por instinto. Se trató de suicidar de diferentes maneras, pero el viejo sin oxígeno respira como quiera. Porque las grandes ideas descubiertas siempre renuevan sus células muertas.
Se hacen eternas cuando las quieren, y siempre viven y nunca mueren. Cuando se duermen son indefensas, y se despiertan cuando las piensas. Y las atacan y las defienden, las más valiosas nunca se venden, alcanzan todo lo que deseas, así de grandes son las ideas. Se hacen eternas cuando las quieren, y siempre viven y nunca mueren. Cuando se duermen son indefensas, y se despiertan cuando las piensas. Y las atacan y las defienden, las más valiosas.
I'm so impressed with our veterans.
There are so many veterans in our community. Such an honor to host our assembly, to have an opportunity to see them and thank them. Our district will be celebrating Veterans Day this Monday. There'll be no school. Enjoy the long weekend and make sure you reflect on the sacrifices our veterans have made for all of us.
United States Coast Guard, went in 1969. Basically, after college, I was a little confused. I didn't know what to do, so I enlisted.
My name is Richard Chuley, and I was in the United States Marine Corps. I served 4 years active and 2 years ready reserve. I was in the 2nd Marine Division, 4th Troops at Camp Lejeune, and I was in the amphibious assault vehicles. That's what brings us from the LST, the ship. We go in. So these amphibian assault vehicles do not stop at the beach. They can go right up on a beach and let you out safely further up on a beach where you're not going to get shot, not right away anyway. And we were sitting off the coast of Cuba ready to invade it if they did not take the missiles out. And like I said, that would have been World War III if we started sinking Russian ships.
Deshaun, I served in the United States Navy from 1963 to 1967. 2.5 years on the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea, just north of Saigon and North Vietnam and south of South Vietnam. We had a couple of crashes. We lost 6 or 7 pilots. We lost a couple of seamen, airmen. And what's interesting about the Navy, when you leave port, They tell you that not all of you are going to come back. That's one of the things they tell you, just to let you know that you're not on a joyride. You're on a mission. It was probably one of the best things I've ever done, except getting married to my wife, Katie.
All the people I looked up to had served in the military, my father, my uncles, everybody, and so. When I went in, I thought it was just my turn, you know, and I never tried to avoid going, you know, to Vietnam or anything like that. I just thought it was my turn. I was levied out and sent to Vietnam. I was under orders to be an advisor to the Vietnamese, so they sent me to the Defense Language Institute to learn Vietnamese. That wasn't really too successful. We had to eat with the Vietnamese soldiers. 8 days rations was 1 kilo of rice, a little tiny can of sardines and a little tiny can of pineapple bits. That was 24 hours rations. So they were snaring rats at night and in the perimeter, and we were eating rats. And no way this kid's eating a rat. It just ain't happening, you know. 4 days later, I was eating rats. That's about how thick your civilization is.
My name is Matt Leibowitz. I was a member of the United States Coast Guard from 1994 to 1998.
Jen Leibowitz, U.S. Coast Guard, 1995 to 1999.
It gave me the foundation for what I would be going forward from that throughout my adult life, giving myself, you know, to others, to helping others.
So for me, service was a natural extension of my childhood. My dad is a Vietnam vet. My grandfather is a World War II vet. They were both very patriotic, very proud of their service, and it was a very natural extension for me to go into the military because it was really just doing something that I had grown up being very comfortable with. And I was really proud to do that. I was proud to be able to count myself amongst their ranks because these were the people that I really respected almost more than anyone else.
I remember a time we were out on patrol, but it was a tropical storm. In the middle of the night, the alarms go off, and we had to get on back underway for a sailboat. We were lucky, and we were fortunate. We were able to make it to them, get them on board our vessel, and bring them, you know, get them out of the storm. One of our sayings is, you know, you have to go out,
but you don't have to come back. It really wasn't dramatic. It was your job. I loved my job. I'm so grateful for it. Had I not done that, I don't think I ever would have been a teacher. It definitely put me on the right path in life.
Students that need to use the library need to get in academic passes from your classroom teacher. These passes are for individual students to use the library to complete work. Students should not get an academic pass if they are not utilizing the library services.
24 of our middle schoolers are participating in the Revival of River Jeans musical being produced and held at the Bridge Street Theater tomorrow at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Make sure you get over and support this school and community collaboration.
Congratulations to Mr. Stinson, who is Catskill Central School District's Employee of the Month for October 2019. Mr. Stinson serves as an 8th grade English teacher at Catskill Middle School and president of the Catskill Teachers Association. Dr. Cook and the Board of Education recognize the hardworking, dedicated, results-driven staff member who serves for our students with excellence. October's theme was effective leadership. Congratulations, Mr. Stinson.
The Green County Fall All-County Festival will be held at Saki Athens School this weekend. All County students will be departing today at 2 p.m. This is a weekend full of performances from both Ms. Storrs and Mr. Dowling students. Break a leg, Catskill.
Interact's Talent for Treatment is a talent show on Friday, November 29th in the high school auditorium to raise money for Taylor Block and Maddie Jones. Auditions will be held on Saturday, November 16th. Make sure we all come out to support this important event for two of our own in need, and it's going to be fun.
T Talent for Treatment is a high school talent show that will be on November 20th in the high school auditorium starting at 6:30 p.m. This event was put together by the Interact Club to raise money for Madison Jones and Taylor Block to help them with their fight against cancer. We will have at least 10 performances from auditions of our high school students and possibly faculty to join us for the talent show. Auditions for the talent show will be on November 16th from 2:30 to 4 p.m. in the high school auditorium. This is a community-wide event. All are welcome. Parents, teachers, family members, everyone. Talent for Treatment is November 20th in the high school auditorium at 6:30. Please join us to help raise money to help our students in need.
There will also be a bake sale, and all money raised will go toward Madison and Taylor's medical bills as well, so feel free to buy.
The Halloween dance was a super fun night. I hope we can have more dances this year. So much fun.
The class of 2023 is selling Krispy Kreme donuts. Orders and payment are due by Thursday, November 7th. Donuts will be delivered to you on the 14th. You can order through a member of the freshman class or from the advisor Miss Consul. Four different vacation itineraries for the senior class trip are on the class of 2020 Google Classroom and were also sent in school Gmail. We will vote for Friday for this year's senior trip using this polling. So if you want to have a vote, get the classroom code from Ms. Banks, log on, and submit your vote.
The 7th annual CTA Run for a Clause will be held on Saturday, December 10th, starting at 10:30 a.m. The CTA runs this event to raise money for our local food pantries in our district. If you want to participate, the cost is less now till November 20th to register. You can turn in the form to Denise McGrath, Mr. Stinson, or Mr. McAleen.
Hey, Casco. This is Machado back with your Casco Sports Report. Winter athletes, here's the Monday tryout schedule. Boys volleyball is at 8 a.m. Boys varsity basketball is at 10 a.m. JV boys basketball is at noon. Girls JV basketball is at 2 p.m. And girls varsity is at 4 p.m. Make sure you arrive 15 minutes before and are ready to go. Good luck. This is Machado with your Casco Sports Report.
Alrighty, I have a math question for you.
Okay, I'm pretty good at math.
What do you get when you divide the circumference of a jack-o'-lantern by its diameter?
What? Pumpkin pie! That's actually really cool.
Thanks for watching Cats Can and Cats Will.
He would tell you to do it again?
I don't care.
All right, we do have many thanks to give as our fall pledge drive is over now. We got 48 of 50 sustaining supporters that we asked for and needed. So if two more people out there would like to go to WGXC.org, click on the donate button and become 17 cents a day sustaining supporters. It only takes 17 cents a day, $5 a month to become a sustaining supporter at WGXC. But we want to thank so many other people who did that, who became valuable members of their community, supporting a valuable place for discussion, a framework for conversation, a soapbox to stand on. We want to thank Allison Murphy in Hudson, New York, Anna Koval in Brooklyn, New York, anonymous donators from Brentwood, Maryland, Catskill, New York, East Chatham, New York, Freehold, New York, Hudson, New York, Kingston, New York, Lake Hill, New York, and Yardley, Pennsylvania. We want to thank Bella Jansons in Brooklyn, Beth R. in Acre, Brendan Donegan in Hudson, Charles Haler in Coxsackie, Claire in Acre, Danielle Rio in Tivoli, Dale Bullvice in Philmont, David Gurin in Brooklyn, Diane Moore in Copake, The Drone Choir in Hudson, Edward Rochowski in Syracuse, Eric Miller in Cropseyville, Eric Belgium in Schaefer, Minnesota, Heidi Nielsen in Long Island City, Johannes Frobel Parker in Ravenna, Gene Douglas in High Falls, New York, Joan Schumann in Watsonville, California, John Mason in Chatham, Joshua Mail in Seattle, Justin Lake in Brooklyn, Karen Werner in Montague, Massachusetts, Leah Bertucci in Ridgewood, New York, Marty Rosenbaum in Albany, New York, Millard Mazzari in Murray, Utah, Pat in Catskill, Paul and Liz in Kinderhook, Richard Goldstein in Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania, Rob Gellis in Hudson, Sabisha Friedberg in New York, S.J. in Great Barrington, Stephen Bull in Greenport, Timothy Simons in New York, Tina Sharp in Hillsdale, Wayne Sheridan in Catskill, and business supporters Del Mar Wellness Center in Valencia and Lillian Liu in Hudson. Thank you all so much for becoming sustaining supporters today at WGXC.org. Consider becoming the last two that we need. Go to WGXC.org, click on the donate button, and become a sustaining supporter today. And thank you all, friends.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes as the ominous drones of Ionosphere transport us across their nightscape. Plus music from Chris Davis Infrasound, Carolise Coverdale, Juliana Barwick, and the Max Roach Double Quartet. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 gigahertz,